add something a little bit new, and that is a children's sermon. What was that? You thought it was karaoke. And Mike's all prepared to give a children's sermon, whether we have children or not. We'd like to grab James if we can, and me and Angie and Beth, we're going to sit right down here in front of Mike. And so we're going to be here. Come on, James. Once I get down, someone's going to have to help me up.
Morning. Yeah, Merle asked me to give a little message this morning for the children, and of course our topic today is on prayer. And obviously the first thing when I got here, I realized we don't have a whole lot of children here this morning. In fact, somebody asked me the other day, they said, how many children do you have on Sunday? And I said, we just never know. I said, we could have 3, we could have 15 to 18. So this was one of those days. It was like a couple of weeks ago on Sunday when I gave the message and we had such a small group here. I'm starting to take this personally. But anyway, talking about prayer, before I get started, I was reading on the internet a little bit some things on prayer and ran across a cute little story. And church was nice and quiet one morning and all of a sudden way in the back comes a loud whistle. And the mother taps the son and said, what are you doing? And he said, Mom, he said, I prayed that God would teach me how to whistle, and he just answered my prayer. So we can pray about just about anything, you know, and talking about what prayer is nothing more than just simply talking to God. And in talking to God, we should be talking to God, and this isn't just for the children here. This is for all of us. Talking to God should be just like talking to our very best friend. You know, we should be able to share we should be able to share everything. Everything that we would share with our very closest friends, we should be sharing with God, because God wants to be our closest friend. We're all here because of God's love. God created us out of love. And I often think that it's hard to comprehend God as having any needs. But I think God was so filled with love that he had a need. He had a need to share that love. And in sharing that love, he created us because he needed somebody to share that love with. It's like some people, and not all people, but a lot of people with a lot of money just have to have somebody to share it with. Because having things don't mean a whole lot if you don't share it. And knowing that our God created us out of love, we should certainly want to be his closest friend. And sharing our needs and our desires and just our thoughts with him is extremely important.
I hope you got some time.
Well, great, Merle. That's wonderful. Oh, he answers you all the time, Merle. You know, God's answer to prayer very frequently isn't the answer we expect or want, but it's the answer that we need. And sometimes we realize that right away. Sometimes it takes us a very long time to realize how bad things would have been if God had answered prayer in the way that we wanted it. You know, but that it does work out that way. God is just has our best interest at heart. And being able to see the future and know what is best for us is a pretty wonderful thing. We would certainly do things differently in our lives if we knew what the future would bring. And God does know that. And so God answers our prayers in a way that is best for us. And God has answered. We're going to hear some testimonies this morning of answered prayer. And I guess I would just like to very quickly, while I have the opportunity, share some of the answered prayer that I've had in my life. And Marion and I, as you know, celebrated an anniversary this year, and Marion was an answer to one of my prayers. Truly was an answer to prayer. I prayed and prayed, and I shared that with you, I believe, before, you know, that I prayed and prayed, and there was a time in my life when I was ready to accept being alone the rest of my life. However, I didn't want to, but I told God, I said, if I'm meant to spend the rest of my life alone, I will accept that because I know you know what's right for me. But I would really like to have somebody to share my life with. And along came Marion. And so many other things. Just as recently as I've had some health issues. Marion has had some health issues. And we've prayed. And my health issues have been resolved. I had a doctor here last year, just a year ago, tell me that I had prostate cancer. And I went to a doctor and Phoenix while we were there this winter after much prayer, went to another doctor and he said, there's nothing there. I believe that's an answer to prayer. Marion had severe kidney issues this year. Shortly after we got to Arizona this year, she went to the hospital with acute kidney failure. And they told her the damage that was done to her kidney was permanent. And she went to the doctor and had a checkup, and he told her, this is now going to be your baseline. This is where you're going to be probably for the rest of your life. And he said, I want to see you in 3 months. She went back in 3 months, and her kidney functions had improved even more. He said, well, I guess your baseline is still moving. So that's clearly an answer to prayer. So God clearly does answer prayer. And it's not just to the children, although God has a special place in his heart for children. Little children like Merle and Beth. And you know, we know that God, just like us, just like all parents, we know how we are around children. Look at little Gracie here this morning. We know how all of our eyes light up when she comes into the room. And I think God is that way, but we are all God's children. And, you know, we don't love our own children any less as they grow up, but it's just not the same as when they're little children, is it? There's something changes. The love doesn't get any less, but it changes. And I just want everybody to know that prayer is extremely important, that we need to share. We don't need to memorize prayers, and there's nothing wrong with memorized prayer. There's nothing wrong with the Our Father that God himself taught us. But I think we need to be very personal with God. We need to share on a very personal level. And there's nothing magic about prayer. There's no special words any more than there is when we talk with our parents or talk with our very best friend. Prayer just needs to be a very important part of our daily life. Thank you, children.
Thank you so much, Mike. Ginger and I recently came back from Village Missions mini conference, and it was really a refreshing time to us, and it was a refreshing time just to share with other pastors of how prayers are answered in their church. And the whole theme of the mini conference was on prayer. And it was the theme was a powerful and incredible privilege. Now, I knew prayer was powerful, but it never occurred to me that prayer is a privilege until you think that we have an opportunity to go before the throne of God and have access to an almighty God, an all-powerful, all-knowing, just an all-powerful God, and we have that privilege, an intimate conversation. I will be dedicating this whole month on prayer, so July will be our prayer month. It'll be a time in which we will pray for our country, we will pray for this community, and we will pray for the church, and we will pray for each other. So I'm kind of excited about what God's going to give us in the whole month of July. And maybe he will inspire us as far as where he's going to take this church next come fall. Today I've asked a few members here to share their experience or thoughts on prayer. So I'm going to ask them one by one to come up. So who's on first is Scott. Scott, would you come up?
Well, Merle asked me to say a little bit about my life in prayer. And early on, I've always been had prayer in my life. And early on, it was kind of selfish prayer. I was always asking for things that I wanted that I didn't really need. Or I was asking for the help prayer. You know, I would get myself into predicament or into trouble and say, geez, God, could you please get me out of this one, you know, for choices, bad choices that I made. But as I've grown and started a more personal relationship with God, it is more like a conversation that I speak to him. I mean, I, like all day long, I bounce things off of him, and Merle said and Mike said, we don't always get the answers that we want, but at least he's there for me every time. So I still, you know, ask him for things, but now it seems like the things I ask for are not so selfish. They're to make me a better husband, a better father, a better friend, and a better person, I guess. And I guess the other part of my prayer is thanks, that I thank him for everything that he does. It blesses me greatly. I mean, everything that I have, I'm very blessed. So I thank him for that. And I guess the most recent testimony to prayer that I have is I guess the one that everyone's talking about is Claire. She went into the hospital unresponsive. They thought she had a blood clot on her brain, and when they opened it up, they found she had multiple blood clots on her brain, and they closed her back up and said, there's nothing we can do. They told Sue and Warren, you have a couple days to say goodbye. And at that point, when we got the news, prayer chain went out. The whole community started praying for this little girl. And 2 days went by, and she was not slipping away. She was getting better. And 4 days went by, and she was giving the doctors thumbs up. And just last week, she was at our house, and they said that she would have probably brain damage. And I sat there and laughed and talked with her and had burnt hot dogs on the fire. And I think I got more brain damage than she does. But that's the power of prayer. And we have a very big God, and he wants to speak to every one of us. So everybody should pray.
Well, Merle has asked me to come forward and talk about how prayer has affected my life. And just recently with my father's health, I've been praying for that to improve. And I know that the church has been praying for him also. So this is more than just about personal prayer. This is about group prayer. And it talks about that in James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And that last part is the most important thing. If you pray for the right thing, your prayers will be answered. And that's true. A righteous man is powerful and effective. And I know this church is a praying church, and we have prayed for this building. And the way he answers us is how everything just seems to fall in place. We prayed for a minister, and He gave us myrrh and ginger, and they're working all perfect. And then we need a parsonage for them, and we prayed for that, and we got a house down the road, right around the corner, dirt cheap. Our mortgage is less than what we were paying for rent. So we're by $1 a month. So it's amazing. It's amazing how he works in our lives. So it's true that if we pray for each other, amazing things will happen. So that's about all I have to say, and just continue praying. So Ginger?
We were talking a lot this week about our prayer life because we were in the midst of a conference where we were being built up in the Word about going to the Lord freely to not only speak but to listen. And I was telling, reminding Merle of a time when our children were young that we taught them and probably taught ourselves at the same time to speak to God about everything. To ask him, to talk to him, to tell him. And one incident in particular I wanted to share with you because Merle and I were like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Our son, when he was probably 9 or 10, swam around the neighborhood. And by that I mean everybody had a pool, so he was always out there. He could not go swimming without his flippers. I guess made him faster in the water. And his goggles. He could not go under the water and open eyes, his eyes without his goggles. It distressed him. And so one day when I was actually there swimming at the neighbor's, he was not going to get into the water because he couldn't find his goggles. And he had told me that he was up in the house and he had searched for his goggles and he couldn't find them. I had also looked for them earlier when we had been talking about it and did not see them. And I said, well, Noah, did you pray? He said, no. I said, well, why don't you do that? And so together we prayed, and then he trekked up to the house and in seconds was back with his goggles on his face. And I said, where were they, Noah? He said they were laying on the counter by the sink in the kitchen. Now, I don't know if you get the picture of this, but that was one of the places that both of us had looked many times. But he found them there. And I know that from that point on, while my son's faith in prayer, or my son's attitude of prayer was good to that point, it increased greatly because God gave him his own little miracle and he got to use his goggles.
I'm going to open this up to the congregation and ask you, is there anything that you want to share about prayer and how God may have answered prayer in your life, traumatic prayer before? Yeah. High five to God. Amen. Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody else that wants to share? Okay. Matt, you want to use this, Matt? You probably don't, but I'll give it to you anyways. Yeah.
Hello. my life is revolved around either my own prayer or the prayers of my family, especially, and especially my mother. I remember being little, going to church and learning all about prayer and learning about how much God loves us and how much he wants to, give us the answers to our prayers. And then, I could tell you my whole life story, but I won't. And when I started getting into the addictions, I would come home late at night and see my mom on her knees on the couch weeping and praying in front of God. I never knew what she was praying for. I always thought maybe it was something wrong. I was too self-centered to realize, how much she loved me and how much she wanted me to come out of this. And, God answered her prayer because there was not a time, because of the way I was raised, there wasn't a time during my life, during the mess that I was in, that I felt like Jonah. I was running from God because I knew he was watching me, And finally, just things all came to the point where I cried out to God and I said, help me, God. And he said, okay, Matt, but he didn't just, take everything away from me. He didn't just say, okay, everything's perfect now. I mean, I went to jail first. For me to recognize that as an answer to prayer, that was humbling. Because God knew that I needed to be protected from myself. He answered my mom's prayers. And then when I still cried out and asked for help, I'm at the Phoenix House. God has been so good to me. And yet, it took a little bit more in depth of a look to understand that, you know, sometimes God's answer is no, sometimes it's yes, and a lot of the times it's wait. So, amen.
Thank you. God does answer prayer. He might not answer the way we want to, but there is a time for Him to answer and His way of answering it. Now, I'm a firm believer in prayer, and God has answered many prayers for me. And, I prayed for my husband for many, many years to get saved, and he just never wanted to get saved and went his own way. But I dearly loved him regardless. But I never gave up. Don't ever give up praying for your family, your children, whoever, because God does hear those prayers, and He will answer in His time. So I just never forgot to pray for Roy, and he did get saved finally, and within 2 years, he passed away. But thanks be unto God, he was saved, and he's there in heaven with my other children that are up there. And I just praise God for His goodness and His mercy. And I love Him.
Thanks. What a great testimony. Anybody else? Well, I guess it's my turn. I remember it was 40 years ago that my girlfriend at that time had broken off our relationship. We had dated for 2 years. How dare her do that? We had dated for 2 years, and she wanted commitment. I wanted freedom. It wasn't I didn't care for her, because I did. And it wasn't because I didn't want to someday marry her, because I did. She was the special one. Unfortunately, she wanted a commitment in marriage, and I just wasn't ready. So she broke the relationship off. Serves me right. I had hurt her and hurt her big time. I tried my best to win her back. I sent her flowers. I called her every day. I sent her cards. She threw the flowers away. She hung up on me. I even called her mother. And she hung up on me, too. And then I had that stark reality that set in that I lost that special person. The person that I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with, I had lost her. And in that period of time, those few months, I was just pitiful. You know, there are some people that say it's better to have loved than lost and never loved at all. I don't believe that. I won't buy into that. Sometimes I think it would have been better just to have my arm cut off than to have that relationship cut off. And my heart was broken. Every morning I wake up with that emptiness and just cry out to God. And I started to pray frequently during that whole time. I tried to bargain with God. You ever do that? Try to bargain with God? And I would go to the back of this chapel that was nearby in Cumberland, Maryland, just every evening, just sneak in that back door, in the back pew, I remember that, and pray for this relationship. And I prayed. I said, God, if you bring her back to me, I promise that I will raise this household and my children in you, knowing you and in your word. I like to say instantly I got results, but that's not what I did as far as that relationship. But you know what he did do? He restored my relationship with him. 2 years of college, being a dope, becoming agnostic, being far away from God. And in this instant, he restored my relationship with him. And I knew I had to let go. I had to move on and really do what he had, you know, follow him and see what he had for me. And, you know, letting go is pretty hard. Does anybody here struggle sometimes with letting go? I mean, it's pretty hard. But I let go of that relationships. And I let go of the promises with God and the deals I made. And I just had him. And you know, that was okay. Sometimes I think that God allows us to give up one relationship to gain an even a more important one with him. And although he used to seem so distant up there in those heavenly places, he started to seem like he was real close. Happily, the story didn't end there. I remember having this dream that my girlfriend showed up in the middle of the night at my door knocking. And I would open it, and in tears in her eyes, she said, can we start all over again? I remember that vision, that dream. And then one night, an amazing thing happened. It was the middle of the night. I had a knock on the door. And there she was. In her blue jeans. In her band jacket. Saying, can we start all over again? And the rest of the story. Yes, I married that woman. Blonde hair, blue eye, bombshell right over there. And we just celebrated our 40th year of marriage. But more important than that, I realized God was never separated from me. He wasn't way up there in the universe. He was real. He was personal. And he had always been there all along. Always been there all along. Did he keep his promises to me? Yes, he did. Did I keep my promises to him? I pray that I did. We tried our best to raise our kids, loving God, having this relationship that we had. They both do. But isn't it funny? You make that promise, you find out this promise is for you, God, but guess who it was for? It was for me, and it was for Ginger. It was for us. To see our children now in love with God, and my daughter teaching for Christian youth theater. My son being, when he was a teenager, being a Christian band and praising God. I didn't give him anything, and he gave me everything. And it's been a great life. It's been a great life. I've had successes in businesses. I've been able to raise two beautiful children. I've been in such great bodies of believers. And I'm here now with my favorite. I'm here now humbly as a servant of Grace Christian Fellowship Church. You know, I am no expert in prayer. But I do have some thoughts I want to share with you. And I have some slides. And it's my thoughts on prayer is, in this whole relationship, this whole walk with God. And so let me begin with number one. And it is that in my story of Ginger and I, you know, we realized that he needed to become first in our lives. He needed to become first. He was the most important relationship. And after that time, I wanted to know him as much as possible. So number one, let's delight in him as he delights in us. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's happened in my life. as the more I delighted in God, in many ways, he gave me the desires of my life. A great wife, two great kids. It was also that he was a delight. And you know, when you delight in the Lord, guess what? Our desires become like his desires. And we always are excited about answered prayer because it's the same prayer of his heart. I think Mike said that. You know, things and toys don't matter. They really don't. And as we delight in him, he may give us things and toys. But the caution we have is to not make those things and toys our God. He is our God, and he is the one that delights in us, and we delight in him. Number two, it's time we draw near to God. James 4:8 says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. How many here, when they were first reaching for God, thought that God was way, way up there? How many? Like God was unreachable. And as I drew close to him, I found out he was right with me all along. He never went anywhere. It wasn't him that removed himself from me. It was me who removed myself from him. I always say that God is like the sun. That if you turn your back on him, all you'll do is get sunburned. All you'll do is get sunburn on your back. And as we draw near to him, we don't have to say, oh, mighty sovereign God, Father of the universe. This drawing near is that intimate, private conversation. And that intimate, private conversation just draws you in. Just draws you in. And prayer is just as much about listening as it is about talking. That intimate time with him, as it was 40 years ago in that back pew of that church. I don't even know what church it was. Back pew of that church 40 years ago in Cumberland, Maryland. And last, and this is very important, last point that, or last thought is, can we be happy? Can we be happy with this conversation with him that's constant? Listen to this, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Listen to that. I don't know God's will for my life. I think I found it. He said, be happy. Let's talk. Look at what I have done in your life because I love you, because I delight in you. Look at those things. Isn't it great that he wants us to have a joyful heart? That's his will. How many here have kids? What's your prayer? Your kids will always be happy. Am I wrong? No. That's his heart towards us. He wants us to be joyful. He also wants us to pray to him continually. He desires that conversation with us. The Almighty Sovereign God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he wants us to talk to him continually. Driving down the road, God, you know, I don't know about this. And God, look, that's so pretty, God. You made that. That's kind of neat. God, I wonder what's going to happen today. Will you guide me through work? Or will you guide me through this situation? God, you're so great. It's kind of neat now talking to you. Now I'm not alone. And I draw near to you and you draw near to me. And last, give thanks in all situations. That's a toughie, isn't it? Give thanks in all circumstances. Thank you, Lord, for black flies. and mosquitoes. Because this will test me. This will teach me. This will teach me up on what I need to equip myself the next time I go out. Thank you, God, for circumstances that even if they're bad, they equipped us. Because I draw near to you, you give me answers, and I protect myself, and I put on that armor of God. And I get prepared for each day. This verse, I think we all need to practice, practice, practice. Be happy always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. I just said, I'm no expert in prayer, but I certainly can see over my life answers to prayer in such extraordinary ways. And you saw it right here with everybody that voiced their extraordinary experiences with this God of ours. But all I know is what Sir William Temple once said. And here it is, guys, and this is true. Memorize this, put this down. When I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't, they don't. Do I hear amen? Amen. At this point of the service, we're not going to close with the worship team. We're going to close in silent prayer. I'm going to ask you to just dig deep about some of those concerns you have in your heart and to silently lift them to God. If we're going to be a church of prayer, it starts right here. I want you to do that. Also, there's another thing that we want you to do. Ginger and I want to pray for all of you. And so in your handout, in your bulletin, in the bottom, there's a little area for prayer requests. I know Matt has already submitted his, but what I want you to do in these next 3 minutes as we hear a song, what I want you to do is tear that off, write down your prayer request, and place it in the basket on the back table. Because we truly, truly want to pray for you and lift our petitions up and talk to God about you. Isn't that great? Good stuff. Talk to God about you. So Scott Lynam visited our church about a month ago and gave a message. And it touched me because of a song that he sang and that the congregation sang with him. So we're going to play that song and then we'll close again in prayer. So, Mike.
Attendeth my way and sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Oh, Satan should buffet, oh, trials should come.
my faith shall be sigh, and the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul.
Dear saints, I don't know what's going to happen over the next month when we start praying, but when we start praying, things start happening. And all I know is what what was his first name? Temple? William Temple said is that when I start praying, a lot of coincidences happen, and they will happen in our lives, and they will happen in this church. So with that, dear saints, I just pray that you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you are dismissed for fellowship next door.